B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Even during games played behind closed doors or games with a small audience, by using this application, yeah! fans can send their support from their homes directly to the stadium. Existing speakers in the stadium can be used, and a more realistic atmosphere can be created through placing dedicated speakers on audience seats. When watching TV or a stream online, viewers can tap to send applause, cheers, jeers, claps, and so on to the venue for different situations, such as for goals. Cheers can also be customized based on the competition or event. Depending on the number of people and the number of times the buttons are tapped, the volume and excitement will increase. Viewers can also clap freely along with chants. We hope to create a new way of enjoying sports together by utilizing the remote support system, Remote Cheer, powered by Sound UD.
That's no joke. That is ridiculous. So let's just turn the thing into another video game. Just another video game. Why can't people deal with the fact there's no one in the stands? And so there's no crowd noise. Just deal with it. It's still a ball game. Are you there to watch the ball game or not? Or it's just, we're just so ADD and unfocused and soft or whatever. We just constantly need our senses bombarded with crap. You're not there to watch the game. And so, I mean, you saw the video. And you're not really speaking into the phone. You're just pressing buttons. So it's just another effing video game. It's ridiculous.
I will say that in seeing the ad, it looks like a parody you would see on an SNL skit.
Thank you.
That's really what the thing looks like. But I do like the one where the woman presses the button and you hear, woohoo! That is... woohoo! That is so bad. Oh, that's so bad. It's good.
You into that, Murray? You gonna pull out your phone and just start pecking away at your phone because you can't stand a silent game?
I wouldn't, but I don't hate it. I mean, we're gonna have to adapt. Everything's different. I mean, 10 years ago, we never thought that like real time fantasy would be a thing or the ability to bet in real time on games. I mean, that's all changed. So things are changing. I have no problem with it.
So right, the changes for the time being. There's no fans in the crowd. Can we just handle that?
No, I mean, again, I want the crowd noise. I want to be lied to with that. Because, I mean, again, most of these, especially if we're talking about baseball, the product's terrible enough as it is. If I have to be forced to watch this crap, at least pump it up and make it a little more entertaining.
So now we got a bunch of dorks there with their phones just pecking away at their phones. That's what you're listening to. Oh, great. No, that's good. That's what I need. Maz in another app on his phone. Pecking away and providing my crowd noise. Like,
woohoo! Remember, it's not just for me. This isn't for us. This is for the 20-somethings. These people will be way into it. Like, oh my gosh. And I think they should allow profanity. They should totally allow profanity.
Okay. All right. So your thoughts on that. To your phones. You've all been waiting patiently. Everything we've hit on today is on the table. Josh and Webster, go ahead on the crowd noise.
Woohoo! Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? I think part of this is, like, do you guys think the athletes want us to hear what they're saying on the field? Like, I feel like a lot of people, like, possibly couldn't handle what they're saying. And another part of it would be, like, could trash talking, like, affect the game? Like, well, the TV product and all those things.
So, Josh, the trash talking we'll never get. We'll never get the real stuff. We'll never get the good stuff. They can't handle it. They don't want it. They being the athletes. They being the teams. The example I've been using for weeks. So when Josh Darnold said something, Sam Darnold? The quarterback with the Jets.
Yeah, Sam Darnold, yeah.
Sam Darnold said he was seeing ghosts against the Patriots. The ESPN put that on the broadcast, and everyone freaked out. The Jets freaked out. Darnold had to take it back. Like, such an innocuous nothing comment, and they don't even want that out there. So the mic'd up thing is a pipe dream. We'll never get it the way it should be. So you're just going to have to take, you know, 24 Germans yelling at each other in German, or a couple guys clapping in the stands, because that's actually what's happening. You're just going to have to deal with it, or not. We'll make up a bunch of apps, and we can also keep pecking away at our phone and try and make up for it. Like, hey, that... Jimmy's just baiting me. Anthony and Waltham, I said before that I think Brian Hoyer is your starter for week one next year with the Patriots. Anthony, your thoughts on that?
That Bill's delusional. I mean, the guy, I think he's lost his fastball. I mean, the guy's 68. He thinks he can win with Brian Hoyer. I mean, the guy's lost, and we should be looking at his age and be holding it against him. I mean, he said he only wants to coach guys he likes. He has yes men on the staff. I think this is headed for a disaster. What's your take?
Okay, Anthony, my take is call me in January after it fails, and I'll be with you. We'll hammer him. And somewhere, some 20-year-old's going to be pecking away at his phone for a sound effect because he just can't handle the silence underneath the takes.
I'll tell you, though, for Belichick, like those kinds of stakes do exist, right? If you're going to let Brady leave, you can't suck.
Right.
You can't suck.
And that's too big of a gamble on a guy who has a 3-13 record as a starter since late November of 2015. 3-13. That's Brian Hoyer. He sucks. Hit the boo button, Jimmy. Boo.
Boo.
Woohoo! Hoyer. Boo.
Joe in New York on the match. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, guys, I got two ideas for matchups of celebrities that I would like to see. One is Blake Snell against Stu Sternberg, the owner of the Rays. I think that would make for a compelling product. Yeah. And then I think another good matchup would be David Price versus Dennis Eckersley. That's all I got. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Okay, so grudge matches, yes. When you said Flacco before, Maz, I'd like to take that back. I don't need to watch Flacco. They've got to be really famous, someone I know,
totally
care about, identify with, or is just... super accomplished in something else, which is where Timberlake comes in, right? It's like, you know, someone, Bill Gates, I don't know, can he play? Elon Musk, someone who is super accomplished in something else, who's also a really good golfer, paired with a PGA guy, and if that, you know, Mr. Perfect in his other world craps the bed and falls apart on the golf course, how is that managed? Like, that to me feels like, that again, that's why I feel that thing was compelling the other day. So, you know, Joe Flacco doesn't rise to that level.
No, right. You know. And so which is, I just, again, I like the idea of people who have competed against each other in the past and had a rivalry, okay? Even if not a feud, a rivalry. So I focus on the athletes. If you want to tell me, you know, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, okay.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, now I'm in. Okay, now I'm in. So you tell me that Timberlake's got some great hatred with another musician and, you know, there's some real...
Oh, he must.
Well, of course, I would think.
Who's his feud with? I mean...
Britney Spears?
Britney. Why did I say Britney Spears? He must have had boy band battles back in the day.
Those lesser members of NSYNC, if you want to match him up with one of them.
Exactly. It's got to be something like that.
The fat one?
I admit that I'm partial to the athletes. Again, you give me Bird, Matt. Someone said like Sidney Crosby and Ovechkin or something like that. I'm in. Yeah. I'll watch that.
Jesse in San Diego on the NHL return. Go ahead, Jesse.
You know, when did the Patriots fans become Bruins fans? Because, you know, we usually only hear this level of crybaby douchebaggery during football season. It doesn't matter who we play. Just look at last year. People think that the President Cup equals Stanley Cup. How'd that work out for Tampa Bay last year? And, you know, we had a red cup. We had a red carpet to the cup last year. Why? Because all of the other top teams got knocked off by bum teams. It proves that it doesn't matter who you play.
Yeah, the whining from Bruins fans is unbecoming. Unbecoming of you. The only thing I would say is I've heard some of it, but not a ton of it, Maz. Like, I mean, again, Neely and Cassidy each had, you know, a comment or a couple comments on day one. I haven't heard any of the players really bellyaching. I haven't heard a ton of the fans bellyaching. I mean, a couple here or there, but I think, you know, I think the Bruins said it's a little unfair. It's not what we wanted, but we've moved on. And so, you know, a little whining. So I don't think it's gotten too bad yet. Do you?
No, I don't. But I don't like the existence of it at all because I think that ultimately what it does is it opens your door for an excuse. So, look, again, as long as it goes away, all I want is for the Bruins to show up and say, you know what, guys, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter where we're seated or anything else. We're still going to have to beat good teams to win the cup. Thank you. That's all I'm looking for. Don't look for an easy road to a championship because if you're looking for an easy road to a championship, you're probably not going to win.
It's an agenda-free Friday. It's driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. More of your calls right after these words.
Let's go, Beetle! Let's go, Beetle!
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And now that we get a look at what this will mean for some of the highest paid players, what's the reaction been within the sport?
It has been uniformly terrible among the players, Scott. And listen, this is not just the highest paid players who, under MLB's proposal that was given to the Players Association on Tuesday, would see the largest pay cuts. This filters all the way down to the lowest levels, to the guys making $563,500, the minimum salary this year. This, Scott, has galvanized the players. They are uniformly together on this in the idea of outright rejecting this proposal from Major League Baseball.
What do you see?
What do we see? Jeff Passan with Scott Van Pelt earlier this week, Agenda Free Friday. We see, you know, we go back and forth, owner's fault, player's fault, etc. I take the side of the owners, not that I love them or that they're worthy of our support, but you got to pick a side. And I think the players just, again, the players and the players union gone too far, too obstructionist, too arrogant, too clueless. I think the owners at least have an understanding of where their sport needs to go. The players don't and don't care. So I've taken the side of the owners, but really, we decided to take a step back yesterday and say, do you even want the sport to return? Owner's fault? Player's fault? Well, okay, we can agree to disagree or agree. But do you even want the sport back? And so we ran this poll yesterday off of Maz's Twitter page and the Felger and Maz Twitter page and all of this. 13,000 respondents. 13,000. That's a legit sample.
It's a big number.
And it was 59-41 saying, we don't even want the sport back. 60-40, essentially. So we're showing on the simulcast, 58.8 to 41.2. Don't even want the sport back, and we have nothing going on. We have nothing going on. What does that say to you, Maz?
Oh, my gosh. It tells you how really frustrated and fed up people are with baseball. And I mean that, again, not just the labor part of it, although that's a big part of it, in the middle of a pandemic where people's freedoms have been taken away. They're really unhappy. And so then they see baseball players and owners bitching over money. So it's obviously a significant part of it. But I think the overall direction of the game over the last few years has been one of, I don't even know if this is a word, insufferability. Like, you just can't fight through it anymore. It's too brutal. And so you say, I can't take it. I can't take it anymore, and I've got to get away from it. The games are too long. And I mean, this is a big part of it. The quality of the product stinks, and people say, you can't give me the product you are giving me and then bitch about the money. You can't do it, so I'm out. And I think it reflects that mindset.
All right, that's one of the things we've hit on this week here on an Agenda Free Friday. We can get back to it. Steven in Boston waiting patiently to talk about it. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. I have a question about the CBA, but before I get to that, I am a yes on having baseball back, probably for all the wrong reasons, given the natural shrinking audience that's happening with the game right now. I don't think it could withstand being off a year, and with gate revenues and ad revenues and so forth. You know, that's already been on the wane. But my question is regarding the CBA. If the concessions on the salaries are made by the players, what stops that from becoming the new CBA moving forward?
Because the new CBA has a year to run, and they have to renegotiate a whole new agreement. So
correct.
It's not permanent. It would be written that it was just for this year. And that next year goes off, and then they would, anyway, before the pandemic even happened, Steve, they had a CBA come and due in a year, right? Year and a half, whatever that was.
Exactly,
so,
right.
His first point, Could baseball, if they lost the season, Maz, would that be the death knell for baseball?
It depends on how it came back. I mean, I would say this. It's a major blow. Okay, major blow. But if they were to put in some radical changes and some progressive, aggressive rules that, you know, speed up the pace of play, make the game a little more entertaining or a lot more entertaining, limit the analytics, and make people curious again about it, then I think in the long run it could help. In the short term, it'd be a major hit. There's no two ways about it. And look, Mike, just to follow up on something we were talking about yesterday, I was talking to some people last night, and when I say people, I mean media people like Sean McAdam, for example, the Boston Sports Journal, and he brought up a good point. Because I have said to you, it would not surprise me, I'm starting to wonder whether owners are really picking a fight with the idea of flushing the season down the toilet. And at the end of the day, I think, and McAdam told me this, so I want to give him credit for it, I think the big battle is over the number of games, which is obvious, but my point is this. I'm not even sure baseball, the owners, want to play 82. I think they'd be content to play as few regular season games as possible. I mean, long as they can preserve the postseason, because that's where all the TV money is.
As you know, you gave Sean all the credit. I told you that yesterday on the air.
Well, did you say the postseason money's all in the TV?
So I didn't mention the postseason thing, but
so that's a big part of it for the owners. That if they come back, the only place where they think they're going to make money is in the TV in the postseason. So I think they'd be willing to play 50 or 60 games, and maybe that's why they're dragging their feet.
Yeah, and the players only care about the number of games because they have prorated salaries, which they're
right. So the players make money in the regular season. The owners make money in the postseason. Is the easiest way to think of it.
That's why every sport is.
Yeah.
I mean, the NBA this year, obviously, you know, this week said we'll play more games. That wasn't a concession to the owners. That wasn't a move towards the owners. That was a move away from the owners.
Totally, you know? Right. Yeah. Right. Because it costs the owners more probably to play during the regular season. And I have no doubt that you said that yesterday. I have no doubt that I ignored it.
All right. Justin, in the car on the crowd noise. You want fake crowd noise, Justin?
No, not at all. But I'll tell you what, though. I kind of want them to do it because I guarantee you if they do it, it's going to get hacked. People are going to put all kinds of wild stuff in there. You're going to have cheating and all kinds of stuff. It's going to be hysterical. Just do it. Like, I want it to happen, but for all the worst reasons in the world, just so I can see people getting bailed on live stuff.
Okay, so, right, like the train wreck factor I'm into, I mean, no problem. But the actual thing where we need to pretend there's a crowd there means you're not really that into the ball game to begin with. I think.
Woohoo!
We've got Eddie and Clinton on the Patriots quarterback situation. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, what's going on?
Excuse me.
What do you got, Eddie? What do you got, Eddie?
I think you guys are going to get your wish.
Which is what?
Remember the draft, and you guys said you wanted the Patriots to draft a quarterback?
Eddie, just please get your point. I'm confused by you.
3 years ago, the Patriots wanted Kyle, I hope I don't kill his name, LaLetta, out of Richmond.
Yeah.
Well, he's now on Philly, and Philly drafted a quarterback this year, and Kyle LaLetta is, like, ranked number 4th on their depth chart.
Okay, Eddie, I'm going to go. Maz, you have any clue what he was driving at there?
So I think his point is that a guy that was linked to the Patriots in a draft a couple of years back now is probably going to get released and the Patriots will end up picking him up. I thought LaLetta was with the Giants unless they released him after they took Daniel Jones.
Okay, so I don't know what he was driving at. All I know is Brian Hoyer is going to be your starting quarterback week 1 for the New England Patriots. How do you feel about that? We'll take your calls on that and anything else. At 617-779-0985, that's your telephone number. Murray has an update, and then we're right back with you. A couple open lines if you want to grab them.
Excuse me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
I am not nervous about the course of the season at this point. I got texts from people saying, you know, that I need to go have a drink tonight or, God, this is a bad day. Hey, listen, it's not, I mean, it's not a great day for baseball, especially against the backdrop of the NHL announcing a plan to come back and the NBA looking like it's going to go down to Disney World. Here's baseball fighting over money. And, you know, in the end, is this going to be the tack that both sides take? Are they really going to let this thing blow up and fall apart? And you're going to have two winter and spring sports playing in your summer? I have a difficult time still, even after today, believing that baseball is going to go down that path. But then again, prognosticators said the same thing in 1994, Scott. And the intransigence that existed back then, we're getting feelings of that right now. We're not there quite yet, but it can go sideways in a hurry, and that's why the players' counter later this week or sometime soon is going to be of such great import.
Okay, more passing than Ben Pelt. Maz, if I asked you, do you think they will come back? What's your answer?
I'd say yes, ultimately, but I bet you more and more I think it's going to be a short season. I don't think it's going to be more than 80 games. I know they're talking 82 under the owner's scenario. Wouldn't surprise me if it's 60.
Yeah, so I think they come back too, but my stock line here is that they're going to make us hate them even more in the process, and that's definitely playing out. That's definitely playing out. I mean, you could have predicted that, right? Like, I think Passan said 2 weeks ago, the next week's going to suck. Well, it's been two, and just like you could have predicted, they have made us hate them even more than we thought we did.
Totally.
In the process, which is just, I mean, so predictable, and I would say unbelievable, but not believable. It's believable.
Totally consistent with, yeah, totally consistent with how they've acted toward one another, particularly under public scrutiny over decades, really. And, you know, again, if we're cheering or booing via the app, we're hitting the boo button.
Okay. Back to your phones on everything. Zach in Milford has a thought for us on an Agenda Free Friday. Hi, Zach.
Hey, first time, long time. I know how much Felger loves two-part questions, so I wanted to really start his weekend off on a good note. One, Mike, have you watched any of the Bundesliga action?
I have.
And then two, what are your thoughts on the English Premier League return plan? I think it's spot on with the staggered TV games and everything, really allowing the no fans in the stadium, but allowing to be the fans to be immersed in the game from home.
So help me quickly. What is their? I have not dug into their plan. What can you give to me in a nutshell?
Yeah, very quickly. All 90 remaining games will be beginning Friday, June 19th. Every match shown live on TV with no two games being played at the same time. Across the weekend, they have midweek matches. The FA Cup will, I believe it's August 1st, and then the FA Cup quarterfinals, you know, through June and into August, basically allowing them to complete by the end of the summer, get their season done by the end of the summer.
Okay, so, I mean, I like it. Playing in windows that you don't normally play. You know, I love afternoon baseball games during the week. Or, you know, if they come back and play NHL Stanley Cup matinees, which I think they're going to have to do. I think they're going to be playing matinee hockey games in July and August, you know, wherever they're at. Because I don't know how you fit in all those games. If you just have one rink or two rinks, there's going to have to be matinee games. And you nationally televise all of them. All for it. I love it.
Yeah, I like the idea of that, too.
I mean, I think NBC does a good job of that anyway. NBC, since they got the hockey package, you know, in the playoffs, they broadcast every playoff game. So you'll see them on CNBC and MSNBC and, you know, the sports network. And so, like, just, you know, and they, by the way, NBC and their family networks has all that open inventory because they were going to cover the Olympics, which obviously got pushed back. So this was a big impetus for the NHL to come back because they fill those windows on all those networks. And so I'm all for it. Play whenever you got to play. I'll watch. John in Shrewsbury on the Patriots. Hi, John. You're up next with Felger and Maz, Agenda Free Friday. Jimmy, I think I froze up here. Line three, if you could. Hi, John.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I had a question about the signing of linebacker Brandon Copeland. He's a veteran guy. He's been in the league a while. Do you think they brought him in to make an impact on this defense and play a lot of reps or just mentor the younger linebackers that we signed?
Or cut him the second day of camp, and it's like he was never here.
Exactly.
Which is, I mean, that's the exact guy, Maz. I used to invest when they would sign someone like that. I, you know, and maybe it was my job when I was a beat writer, but, you know, still, you'd look him up. What are his strengths? What are his weaknesses? How does he fit the defense? What's his salary? How, you know, all these things. And then he gets cut the first week into camp. It's like, why did I waste all that time?
Yeah,
and so now,
not only cut or ends up on a team and making an impact in their playoff run like Mike Pennell did on the defensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs last year. When I thought, so, and I was told going into the season, oh, this is a good signing. He's going to make an impact. No, he didn't.
Well, I'll pay attention to that guy then when he helps someone else out. I'm just saying there's so much roster fodder that they sign in the offseason. How about this guy? How about that guy? How about this guy? How about that guy? And then you get to the second week of camp and they're all gone. It's like, why did I waste? I think this Copeland is that exact guy. He might be something, but he could just as easily be gone the fifth day of camp, and then so why? Yeah, if he's on the final roster, I'll talk about him. If he's a starter, I think they're probably in trouble. I mean, he doesn't project like that, does he?
No, I don't think so, no. And again, you know, all things being equal, I'd almost rather have a young guy in there.
JD and Winchester on the match. Go ahead, JD.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man.
Good. I got one for Tyson Holyfield and Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. I'd like your thoughts on that.
So, yeah, like, you know, we can also can they golf? So, I'm just not trying to go through society and the world and find two mortal enemies and put them on the golf course together. I mean,
this might be the danger in something like this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, so the thing with Manning and Brady that made it interesting is they were both winners, and as much as they competed against each other and liked to beat one another and all that they actually were friendly. I mean, that's because that allows for the banter and the give and take, and Manning standing there on the range saying, yeah, you know what, I thought about bringing Belichick in as a caddy. I thought that might work. You know, so that's, you know, you want some of that, too. To me, let's be realistic about it. This isn't a contest to come up with, let's find two people who hate each other like poison and put them out there, because there's no chance that that'll ever happen.
Devin and Lynn on the return of baseball. Hi, Devin.
Hi, I was wondering, if baseball doesn't return, does that give the owners more leverage for the next CBA? Because it might be harder to get the players to strike, especially the lesser paid players, and lose out on two possible seasons worth of paychecks.
I'd like to find out. Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off. I'd like to find out. I'd like to see the owners really put that union to the test and really push them to the wall. I think that union needs to be weakened a little bit. I think, and again, this all goes back to me with pace of play and the way the game is played. The players fight the owners on every single thing, and I think that's gotten in the way of the game evolving. And so if they can break that union a little bit, I think we have a better chance to speed the game back up and get the game back that we grew up with. So I'd like to see the owners try. I'd like to see the owners try. Who wins the leverage game as if they lose the season?
I would say, I'd say the owners can go longer without playing than the players can. I mean, that, you know, again, I'm just doing math there, that the owners have more money.
Yeah, well, certainly the high-end players are all set, which, you know, isn't even really the case in football. That's where football is really porked, where, it's not even the top 1%. It's like the top half of 1%, the top 0.3 of 1% are set for life in that sport. I mean, starters do not make enough money in a football career to last them for life. I mean, the average career length is 3-4 years. So they just don't make enough money to be set for life. In baseball, I don't know, maybe there's 1,000 players who are, I mean, how many are in the union?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, in the big leagues, if you go by 40-man rosters, there's over 1,200 players in the major leagues.
Okay, so of the 1,200, I bet a third are set for life, right?
That's probably about right. Yeah, somewhere in there.
I mean, that's a big difference. So they can hold out. They can. And that's why I think the baseball, you know, it's a tougher nut to crack. But I think the owners got to crack it. I think they got to crack that union, or else baseball is just going to continue to spiral. And again, if you're just joining, I do blame the players more. Long commercial-free segment is next here on Agenda Free Friday.
Boston's home for sports. Failure has 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, obviously a little disappointed with what the team was able to accomplish the first 70 games and then the kind of the point spread that we had between not only the teams in the league, but the teams in our division or conference. So, you know, to kind of maybe have three games dictate where we fall in the conference standings is somewhat disappointing. But, you know, the fact remains these are uncharted times for everybody, and we're just hoping we can eventually get back on the ice and play meaningful hockey games.
Agenda Free Friday, everything from the week that we've gotten to or have yet to get to, but that was definitely a big point this week as the NHL announces its return, and the Bruins are a little frustrated, a little disappointed that they have a chance to drop out of the top seed in the East. I think it's frankly ridiculous. I think it's a ridiculous complaint. And I don't want to go overboard against Neely or the Bruins because I don't think they went overboard. I think they've mentioned it. I don't think they should mention it. I don't think they need to mention it, but it's not like they've gone overboard either. Okay, so they're a little disappointed, a little frustrated. They would have preferred to come back and play games that didn't account for the seedings and that they would just be the number one seed. I don't know why. I mean, frankly, Maz, I still don't know why they're so bent out of shape about that. It makes no difference what seed you are. You're still, you know, not playing games that matter out of the chute. You're still waiting for other teams to have play-ins. And the whole thing's a jumble anyway. So what, like, what is really the difference? Like, it's unbecoming for them even to mention it. And if I hear any more of it, I'm really going to hammer them. But I'll give them a day just to say this wasn't quite fair, not quite what we wanted. Fine. That's it. I don't want to hear any more. I don't want to hear any more of it.
Well, honestly, I was a little surprised when it happened only because, you know, I think typically their attitude is, well, look, it doesn't matter. We're going to have to power through and win the championship by beating good teams. And so, to me, that's the message you always want to deliver to your team. I think the Bruins, particularly under Cassidy, have been really good at that. And they, you know, they stay focused. They keep their eye on the prize and on the goal. And they don't get pulled off of that. Now, look, we all have a lot of free time in our hands, so maybe that's what's going on. And at the end of the day, the only way it hurts them is if they end up as that number four seed and they got to play Pittsburgh. Then that makes the road a lot tougher, in which case I would say to them, don't finish fourth. Like, that, all you got to do, because they hold all the tiebreakers, just win one of those three games and you won't finish fourth. If you win two, in all probability, you're going to end up as the number one seed or worse, number two.
It was just frustrating to me because when it was originally put out there that those that round robin among the teams that have the bye weren't going to mean anything, we heard from fans that said, well, that isn't fair. They're playing exhibitions while the other teams on the preliminary round are going to be all heated up because they played what amounts to a playoff series, and they're going to have a big advantage over you. And they complained about that. So then the NHL made those games mean something, and people said, well, that's not fair. We could lose our seating. So I'll like again, you gotta pick one. It's time to start making some decisions and saying yes to some people and no to some people and taking a step forward. And oh well, if you don't let, you know, it's just time to start doing it. It's been 2.5 effing months since they played, and so the NHL, thank God, has made some calls. And you know, here we go. When is the NBA going to do it? When is baseball going to do it? Baseball should be ahead of all of them. So where are you, for crying out loud? Baseball's in last. Baseball's behind everybody. Baseball should be the first one back. They're going to be the last. Hockey turns out to be the first. So who would have thunk that? Feels well, like there is. Go ahead.
No, and the other thing, and you made this point the other day with the whole seedings in the NHL, there's no home ice. So there's not any tangible gain of finishing first over third. Again, fourth is different because of the presence of the Penguins. I just say, and independent of whether you like the matchup with the Penguins are a real threat. That's a deep and talented team that really nobody wants to play in the first round, particularly if you then have to play Washington and or Tampa along the way. That's just a brutal road. So finish is one of the top three. You don't have to face Pittsburgh. And then, Mike, as we learned last year, like, at any point, a low seed beats a high seed, the whole thing changes anyway. So, you know, to me, it's just about avoiding Pittsburgh in the first round. That's it.
Okay. So, on basketball, what was I just going to say on basketball? Murray, what have you been reporting today that they want to return when?
July 31st is apparently the date that they have set. So the Adam Silver met, you know, talked virtually with the Board of Governors today and all the GMs, and they have settled on July 31st is what they're targeting for resuming play.
Friday, July 31st. So we're talking August, September. We're talking, and I feel like the NHL's not put a date on it, which I don't mind. You know, they're saying they want training camps to open the first half of July. So that could mean the first or second week of July. If you're going to have 3 weeks of camp, 2-3 weeks of camp, you're not talking about August 1st. So we're talking both those winter sports starting August 1st.
Yep.
Which is, wow, that is a gap. I did not think we would be looking at that. But again, I'll take it. I'll take it over nothing. No problem there. Charlie Baker and the Massachusetts has just lowered themselves, has just finally come around to say, yeah, we'll let you back in the gym just to shoot around. Next Saturday. While most other teams and most other governors, even governors in hard-hit areas like Andrew Cuomo there in New York, have said, yep, we're open up. You can come in, start practicing in our gyms, using our empty gyms, et cetera, we're ready to go. Let's do it, says Andrew Cuomo. Charlie Baker finally today came out and said, yep, we're open for business too next Saturday. They got to wait a whole nother 8 days? What's the 8 days for? Seriously, like... You don't think these teams are ready to roll? You don't think they've already put, you know, the NHL's come down with all their guidelines. The NBA came down with their guidelines, I think, 3-4 weeks ago? When was that? When they first opened them up, it was like 3-4 weeks ago. So all the protocols have been in place for both of these leagues for weeks. The Bruins and the Celtics are probably sitting there with closets full of sanitizer, PPE, you know, coverings for shoes, everything they need. They're just waiting to be told that they can open the door. And so Baker says, yeah, you can open the door next Saturday. I don't get next Saturday. So what is next Saturday for?
Murray, so correct me if I'm mistaken. That was Baker's announcement early on, but didn't you report something earlier that now the Celtics have been given the okay to open on Monday?
Yeah, they announced that they're going to allow voluntary workouts at the Auerbach Center on the 1st.
Okay. Oh, okay. So that,
but I don't know how that lines up, though, because you know it was announced that you got to wait till a week until tomorrow. But
no, I don't care. If the Celtics can get in on Monday, fine. Yeah. This last minute, rewind, reverse, wipe it out. Never mind. Emily Letilde, never mind. Okay, so fine. Thank you. Monday. I'd say today. I mean, still Monday's still like I get it. Monday, fine. Next business day, okay. But these teams are ready to go. The teams are ready to go. They've been ready to go for a long time.
Exactly. I mean, look, again, Ainge said it last weekend. They were ready before that, so they wanted in 2 weeks ago.
So, Maz, real quick. So, you know, the NHL's plan is back, and it's been debated. 24 teams, the play-in round, all of that. So what do you want to see the NBA do? If you were the NBA, what would you do?
So, look, I don't mind a similar kind of model in the NBA. I think that I don't love the whole, you know, seed them 1 through 16 overall, take out the East and the West and just put everybody in one big pile. I mean, because I like the East-West. I like that. I've always sort of liked the East and the West meeting at the end of the year, and then your championship comes from one side or the other. You know, and again, some years the East is better than West, some years it's not. I understand what the motivation is for the NBA to do it 1 through 16, that they end up with the two best teams in the finals. I think that that's probably going to happen either way, because, correct me if I'm wrong, 1-2 is Milwaukee, the Lakers, right?
That's right.
So you're probably going to get that either way. And then, you know, in the short term, you get conference playoffs, and maybe some of the early rounds are a little more entertaining in some of the other markets. I think the play-in thing that the NHL is doing is inevitable in the NBA for lots of reasons. I think you're going to get something like that because they want Zion in the playoffs.
Do you want as a basketball fan, do you want it?
Absolutely. Sure, why not? If you're going to, you know, if we're going to get to this stage and then all of a sudden start to tweak the bottom a little bit to let people in, then let's see what Zion looks like in the playoffs as a rookie. Absolutely. I want to see how he fares in the most meaningful games. Remember that Michael Jordan in 86, 3 years in the league, went off against the Celtics and they got swept in that series. But we knew right then and there, and the league knew, that this guy was going to be a force. So I'm okay with seeing that sort of experiment.
Okay. Good news is these leagues are coming back. At baseball, we don't know. But hockey, basketball, coming back. That's the good news. The bad news? you got to wait another couple months, which is staggering. You've got to wait over 2 months to watch games that matter. So, like, in the interim, here's a real small thing. So I need some content in the interim, right? Like, these gyms have been open, but I get no reports. You know, I get no reports about so-and-so shooting. I've got no reports about, you know, and I don't even know if their gym's open, but Giannis working on his left hand or LeBron working on his three-pointer or so-and-so came back and he looks fat or so-and-so came back and he's in good shape or the coach came back and he wants to work on a new, like, can I get a little some of that now? I mean, so that to me is the importance of getting these guys back in the gym. There's balls. There's balls being bounced, and there's pucks being shot. And so can I get someone to report on what the bouncy ball looks like and the puck shot looks like so that I can comment on it and we can have a little bit of content in the interim? You know what I mean, Maz? I feel like, you know, from my point of view, that's why it's important to open up these buildings. So let's get some content. Let's get some reporting going. Can we, please?
Oh, I would think that there'll be something like that. I would hope, you know, and I don't know if the media is going to be allowed into these things, but at least there might be some regular, you know, media access via telephone, Zoom, or whatever to the coaches and the staff. And look, once everybody starts talking, stuff will come out, whether the media is in on the actual practice session or not, or workout session. So, there's going to be a build-up to it. There has to be.
Yeah, based on MLS practices that are happening, though, I wouldn't expect much because all you're getting is pool photography coming out of their practices. I know that's sport, but it ain't much.
I need some reporting. I need some reporting.
Info.
What does Pastrnak look like? He scares me. Pastrnak, 3 months, you know, just to what, tool around? And what's he been doing? Has he kept his nose clean? Like, what does Pastrnak look like? When Rask comes back and they take shots on him, can he stop a beach ball? Or is his head, you know, in the, where's he? Who got fat? You know, this Nick Ritchie that they traded for was fat when he got here. Is he a hippopotamus now? I want to know. You know, where's Marcus Smart? He's got, like, I need some grist for the mill, Murray. Okay, if they're coming back, I need some reporting now. That's next. That's the next step. But either way, it's an agenda-free Friday. We'll take your wonderful phone calls the entire final hour. We've hit on a bunch of different things. Maz hit on David Price picking up the minor league salaries in the Dodgers organization. A good gesture there. Murray was talking about finally the buildings opening back up here in Boston for the Celtics and the Bruins. We talked about the match and what do you want to see going forward from that product. The fake crowd noise and this Fakakta app that they have now that you can now generate crowd noise in speakers in empty stadiums. It's just complete nonsense. The return of Major League Baseball, the NHL, NBA, all of it, we promise. Right to your calls after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.